Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. And I am back today hosting 2 weeks off. Was it 2 weeks?
2 weeks in a
row. 2 weeks
off. Too many.
And I'm here back with my friends, the Lady James Dean, Ms. Rhea Butcher. How you doing, Rhea?
Fantastic. It is a little bit weird to be in the co-panelist seat again. Once I had the steering wheel, it's a little weird.
Jesus is my co-panelist usually, but tonight it's you. Thank you so much for stepping up and hosting.
Absolutely. I had a great time. Ricky and I held the fort down. Yeah. A little R&R for everybody.
Plus, you are, you know, very talented.
Yeah.
Is the other thing.
Really smart and really funny. So I did a great job.
Yeah. Speaking of Jesus is my... I should have said Jesus is my co-host. Did I say that?
Sure.
That's funnier because of host...
It's
like a Jesus pun. You know?
I like co-pilot too, because I mean, like, Jesus knows how to fly a jet.
Right.
It's like Top Gun.
Right. Sure,
you and Jesus in Top Gun.
Host. Pilot host. And hey, you know who that was? That was the Afro spokesman, Mr. Ricky Carmona.
What it do?
That is nice to see you. We both have our glasses on tonight.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, you are always wearing glasses, but I am almost never wearing mine. And now that I see you through my glasses, it just feels, I feel closer to you.
You feel further away.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see shit, but like I feel like we're, you know, similar people with glasses.
I feel so left out having such great eyesight.
Yeah, that's tough. What's that like?
It's like you can clear. It's really clear.
It's amazing.
I mean, but the funny thing is you're a sleepwalker.
Yes.
So like
I can't
in the
see
middle
shit
of the night
when I'm asleep.
No, I was just saying you can see, but you shouldn't be up.
No.
That's right.
It's like dying alive. It's like dying alive is what sleepwalking is like.
Well, I'm so happy to be back in the show. And today we're going to be reviewing Gravity, which is currently in theaters. We're also going to give you some tips and tricks for how to enjoy Gravity if you're on your way out there. And I don't mean the property. I mean the actual film. Is it a property? What's that called?
Theory?
Scientific. Yeah. Yeah.
Phenomena?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I like phenomena.
And we'll also get to some news. So we will be back to start with some news right after this. And welcome back. I hope that musical interlude was enjoyable for you. Hey, just another couple things to say. I've been on the road a bunch lately, opening for Anthony Jeselnik in 20 cities this fall. And I have Portland coming up. Actually, that's for a comedy festival that I'll be at on Friday. And then after that, I'll be in Phoenix and Richmond and Baltimore and San Francisco. So if you want to come see some shows, you can just go to CameronEsposito.com/shows and you can come see me live doing stand-up comedy jokes. Also, it's been great because at a lot of these shows, I've met some listeners, and we always love to hear from you via the internet, but it's also nice to see your beautiful faces. So also, a special shout out to listener Steve Wolfhard, who I met this week. What a nice dude.
What a name.
I know, and his last name is Wolfhard.
Crazy.
Come on now.
Wolfhard is
this
great.
Coming from Butcher, too.
I know, like, I was thinking that. Like, my name is already crazy, and me saying crazy is pretty crazy.
We got to get you two together somehow. Butcher and Wolfhard.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
We got to make that.
Yeah.
That's a serious.
I'm already trying to pitch a show with a comic Eliza Skinner, Skinner and Butcher.
No.
Where we
I like
dogs,
Butcher and Wolfhard
Butcher
better.
Butcher and Wolfhard is pretty bad.
I like
badass.
It as a law firm that only deals in arrow shootings, like in like a quiver heavy.
And we wear like bandanas and like earrings and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
But earrings in places they shouldn't be, kind of a thing.
Sure. So we've got some news. Let's get to some news. So Joseph Kosinski, who is the writer and director of Oblivion, has gotten some cash lately from the folks behind Elysium to make some additional features, guys. Now, Oblivion was bad.
It was really bad.
It was real bad. I wonder if I even think he is salvageable as a writer-director. Would you guys go see another of his movies after seeing that?
No, I would. I mean, I might go ironically, but I don't know.
But you can't.
Would you say that while you were there? I'm here ironically.
Also, this whole outfit of suspenders and stuff, this is ironic too. Lots of ironic popcorn. Thank you.
Person enjoying themselves. Yes, that was a really good R reference right there.
Great.
But what would you go see?
I would go see a movie of his, but if it was like, because both of his last movies were original ideas, if it's like an original idea, it's going to be like, all right, buddy, you've struck out twice with those. I didn't hate Oblivion. It just slowly fell apart for me. So I'd give him another shot. I'd give you one more shot.
But what about the combination of Elysium money because you weren't a huge
That's
fan
right.
of Elysium.
Am I going to treat Elysium money like blood money?
Right. Yeah. I mean, a little bit. I'm just curious. Feels like a bad combo to me.
I don't know. Like that's a tough call to make. I don't just want to rule out anything post Elysium.
You know, it is also funny that both of those movies came out like in the last year, because it kind of feels like the trend of naming restaurants like one very artsy fartsy name has filtered up to movies.
To movies, that's
where
great.
It used to be like Vino, yeah. and then like yeah. Bianco would be across the street. Now it literally Oblivion and Elysium in the same year. That's amazing.
Have you guys had like breakfast at Granola?
Oblivzyime. Elysium Oblivium. Also, Pacific Rim 2 is happening.
Ugh.
I am so happy about this.
Wait, I can't remember. So, spoiler alert, at the end of that movie, and we don't have to tell you what happens, but I don't remember it being open-ended.
Oh, I mean, it could be absolutely open-ended. Plus,
probably made a shit ton of money.
No, I mean, it's not
no,
that.
But
I guess
what
I mean is,
well,
like,
there's the one scene at the end.
We don't
Ron
have to...
Silver. That happens.
Oh,
yeah.
Got it.
So that I would think, okay, there's... That's one way
to
do it.
There's a Ron Perlman angle. There's also yeah. like...
There's, they invented the whole idea to begin with, so yeah. I feel like I don't want to spoil any of the movie,
well, so,
but they absolutely could rewrite
the
it.
Whole point of the whole point of the movie is basically just like, you know, I mean, this is not revealing anything. It's like beating back these Godzilla-type creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you're right. Like, that could happen
I mean, there's like,
into Oblivion.
200 Godzilla movies, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Right. So what you're saying is next they're going to come from the sky.
Yes. Let's take place somewhere else. It'll be like Jersey Rim.
Yeah. By air.
Rim.
Cleveland Rim. Can it happen in Cleveland?
Brazil Rim.
Cleveland Rim.
Cleveland yeah. Rim?
Is my least favorite sexual position.
That's disgusting.
But it's the healthiest one for you listeners. So don't forget that.
LeBron loves it. Oh, it's his favorite. LeBron James. Cleveland's own. No, he's from Akron.
No, he's from
I'm
Akron.
Sorry.
And he's also in Miami now. So.
Well, who cares?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, shove the knife
about?
In my heart even deeper.
Oh, who cares?
It's more like
where
a Miami
is.
Rim.
I don't even care about sports. What are sports?
Go Dodgers.
So, also Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There are rumors. I have to say, slow burn on that guy, and I'm proud of him. Now, I'm always very interested when actors do something where they do that thing where they make like enough disparate choices that they create a career that could keep going. You know, like can we remember that he got his start in Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah.
And that he has slowly been building his film repertoire. I thought that Looper was a real game changer for him.
Huge.
In terms of a leading man property. Now, I didn't see whatever that most recent thing is.
Don John?
I was going to call it Joe Bill.
Sure.
But I believe that's actually an
pretty
improviser
close.
In Chicago.
In Chicago, Joe Bill. Shout out to Joe Bill.
Yeah. Don John, did you neither of
no.
you saw it, right?
But I thought it looked terrible.
I did
yeah,
see the trailer in
it.
Front yeah. of Rush, and I was like, I would watch this. It kind
okay.
of looks like an homage to Marky Mark in general.
Oh, for
it really does.
In Boogie Nights. I mean, I think it's pretty on the nose. Anyway.
When I saw the trailer for it, he talked before the trailer, and that
Ooh.
Turned me off huge. I
Wait,
was like,
what do you mean?
Like, they're like a clip comes up. Yeah, a clip
oh.
comes up, and he
Whoa.
Introduces it. And he's like, hey, I'm Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You're
Here's
about to
movie.
Watch the trailer.
Oh,
and I was like, stop
no.
talking.
Oh, no.
Stop doing that, please.
That's like Fairuza Balk at the beginning of Return to Oz when she intros
what?
That movie as an
what
adult.
What are you talking
oh.
about?
Yeah,
somebody that's
really
listening
bad.
To this is going to be really stoked that I said that. So.
Well,
I'm stoked that you said you just pulled that one out.
I guess my question is... Was he in a high back chair when he did that?
He was swinging
jacket?
In a swing. He was,
oh,
he
hey.
Was so happy.
Didn't see you there. But he has, I feel like, so he's been inching up, Looper, again, pretty wide release, very well reviewed and huge reception, but not a blockbuster. And so now something that's happening is that he's being rumored as being in, like, he's going to possibly be Ant-Man. He might be a future Batman. He might be a future Robin. And I feel like it's very interesting because I think maybe that's going to... It's like, at this point, if you want to be a leading man, you got to pass through the portal of superhero. Like, at some point, you have to
Which
walk
is really
through that door.
Yeah.
Odd now. Because, like, think about somebody... To me, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is, like, the possibly a new Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, sure. Like, yep. And Leo is never going to be a superhero. Like, he's never going to do that.
Oh, he missed his moment.
I think he missed the window.
He's never going to have to do it.
Well, you know what, though? The good news is he's got a very wide face. And so he would look like shit in a mask. Oh. I'm sorry. He's a handsome guy, but I saw...
Hey, he wouldn't look bad as, like, the Green Lantern or something.
No, he would look bad as the Green Lantern.
Just the eyeball.
No, you guys, he would look bad. You're incorrect.
He would make a great Wonder Woman.
Listen,
what are you talking about?
I saw him in whatever that movie's called, Gatsby, and he's fantastic in it. He's actually really good in that movie, but his face is so wide. He's like... just always had a very wide face. And it's not getting any less wide. We know what happens to men's heads as they get older.
Everybody looks weird in The Great Gatsby. I didn't think white people could look shinier than they do than in The Great Gatsby. I was just like, what are you trying to do? You're practically glowing in this movie.
That's what REM was talking about.
Is that the shiny heavy?
Indeed.
Oh, my God. Well, also, I believe that the rumor has come out that Superman versus Batman will be filming at a football game in LA, which is like a really great way to up the ante. I know in the past I've said on the show, like, so now Superman and Batman, like, what else could possibly happen? Well, football.
They play football.
That's the answer.
And they both are just all day quarterback, and then they're just like staring at each other
on
the field.
What happens is Batman's first string quarterback, but as we all know, he's fallible. You know, he has a human body. And so his throwing arm apparatus attachment, his batter arm.
Oh, you know so much about sports, Cameron. It's blowing my mind.
Wait,
right
you don't use the sports. Word throwing? You don't use the term throwing arm?
You use throwing apparatus. You were correct on that.
Oh, because he's Batman, he wouldn't throw with his arm. He'd have like a batter sling or something.
A batter sling.
Yeah,
he
throws with his batter sling,
but
it gets
broken. Why do you
keep
adding ER to the bat sling?
The batterman.
It would just be a bat sling.
I don't know. I'm trying to include baseball as well. He's a batter sling. What is
he's
this?
He's a batter up.
He's what are you?
Of course.
So he gets hurt. Then, at the very last minute, they're down. They have to go in the locker room. And then old man, probably Gene Hackman, has to tell them that Superman's in it and he can win the game.
That old man would be Alfred, the butler, Batman's butler.
Did you just say Gene Hackman?
Well, he'd play him. Yeah,
Gene Hackman. I would see a Gene Hackman.
He'd play the coach.
Bear Bryant?
Bear Bryant. Gene Hackman would play the coach. I don't know what the coach is, but it's Gene Hackman. Okay, great. This was a wonderful news segment. I feel like we really got some hard-hitting issues out.
That was like Watergate right there.
I mean, it's thank God that the government is no longer on strike. What was that called?
Shutdown?
Is the government back open? Are they back open?
I think it was called the batterer shutdown.
We will be back with a new segment of the show after this.
Hey, folks, this is Kevin Allison of the Max Fun podcast, Risk, where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. If you've never heard Risk, why not start with our 150th episode? It's an all-star lineup of jaw-dropping true stories from Aisha Tyler.
This being the 90s, I was drinking malt liquor. Don't fuck you and your racist ass. You're all racist for laughing.
Tom Lennon.
Whenever I walk into a place that's called Mr. Binky's, I'm expecting Armenian Bumblebee to be like, I got jack-off pills for you. Yeah!
Jay Moore.
Me, public school in New Jersey. I didn't need to know anything because everybody knew you got pregnant by peeing in each other's butts. That's how we knew.
Andy Dick.
We've had a monogamous relationship for 5 years. I barely cheated on her.
And The Daily Show's Jessica Williams.
Oh my God. I have like this need to be responsible for some reason that doesn't really benefit me. So like, Jessica, clean it up.
Look for Risk on iTunes or, of course, at MaximumFun.org.
Risk!
And we are back now. A very exciting thing that happened while I was away is that a new segment on the show was debuted. It is called What's Poppin' with Ricky Carmona. And I am just going to toss it I'm going to pop it right over to you, Rick. Ricky. God, you hate Rick. Oh, I hate myself for saying Rick.
Don't worry
this
about it.
This is how long I've been away. I forgot you hate Ricky.
Don't worry about it, girl. Don't worry about
listen,
it.
Listen.
This is like Ricky the sequel. And that right there was like the sequel. Like, oh, they're back. Ah, but it's not as good. But look, boom. Now we're on point again.
Yeah, we are.
See how quick
we
that are. Was? See how quick that was?
All right, what's popping? Take it away.
What is popping, people? Cameron, I don't know if you listened to our last episode, but yes, I talk about how much I love popcorn, watching a movie, making popcorn on the oven, people. That's the thing. Make the popcorn on the oven like a grown adult. Don't be an animal in the wild and go to the store and put it in a microwave. Get that microwave out your house.
Love that.
So what I'm saying is if you go see the movie Gravity, which we're going to be reviewing, you're going to go there. They're going to have fresh-made popcorn for you. What I would recommend is, with Gravity, I would say go no salt. No salt during this movie. Heavy on the butter. Heavy on the butter. Get yourself a medium-sized bag. Not large, because it's a short movie. It's an hour and a half. You don't want to go crazy and then just have popcorn all over you. Get a medium-sized bag popcorn. Heavy on the butter. The butter is going to keep you. It's going to give you that center, because you're going to be freaking out at what you're seeing. It's going to give you that center that will just, it'll be the anchor that gets you back to earth. And tell them to put some stank on it.
That's what he said last time. Put some stank on it. I love it. So
it's like a batter butter anchor.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. And
the Butter Battle book, by the way. Great book. Sorry.
I wanted to say, because of our last segment, one of our listeners, Zena, sent me 8 bags of popcorn holders like they sell at the movie theater.
Look at that.
So thank you, Zena. That's what's up.
The best thing I've ever heard. And I want to also add that, Rhea, you brought in, you are debuting your own version of what's popping tonight on the show.
Yeah.
That'll be what's sipping.
What's sipping or what's sip? Like, what's up? But yeah, whatever. Like... So for Gravity, I think there is only one choice of a refreshment when seeing this movie, and it would require a little bit of time travel or an eBay search. But I think that for this movie, the only thing to drink is Orbitz, which is a really disgusting drink that came out in about 1995 that had little floating lava candies in it.
I think the scientific word was goo balls.
Goo balls, yes, that's what it was.
I remember this.
Yes, it's also my favorite branding because I know how old someone is by whether they call the gum Orbitz or Orbit, because it's Orbit. But anyway, I digress. You should drink Orbitz in the theater while watching Gravity because you can just float around with your drink. And if you need to chill out, you can look at the lava goo balls.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. What's your tag? It's not stank.
Stank on it? I don't know. eBay it. Nice. I only like to drink vintage liquids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's disgusting. Also, think about eBaying some juice.
I can't wait to hear your chocolate Yoo-hoo segment.
So I'm doing a segment tonight, debuting my own segment called What's Munchin'?
So ridiculous.
It's like what to munch on when you're and I would recommend like a Laffy Taffy.
Ooh.
Here's why. I hate Laffy Taffy. There is the worst. It's a terrible experience to put a Laffy Taffy in your mouth. You always want it to be chocolate. Why are you even eating it? Also, it doesn't stay in your mouth for the right amount of time.
Banana.
Either too long or too short. This is how this movie feels. It's a real task to get through it in real trial and tribulation. You're going to need something that's going to be taffy in your mouth. You can really bite into it. It's kind of like a mouth guard, so you don't bite through your own teeth.
I like that, exactly.
And into your jaw because of stress.
I like that. That's good.
And also, it's unsatisfying, which you don't really want to be satisfied during this movie because, you know, there's so much tension going on. You want to allow yourself to live in that tension. So I would recommend a Laffy Taffy or an Airhead. If you can get an Airhead, if you've got an Airhead around,
can I suggest now and later?
Yeah,
yeah. Sure. You were very not confident on the name of that.
Fine.
They are now and later.
Fine. And fourth choice, Mamba.
Ooh, mambas.
You could also get a mamba.
What about a
either
bit of
way,
honey?
They all suck.
How what? About a bit of honey?
No, bit of honeys are delicious.
Oh my God.
Stop bringing nasty.
Juji fruits?
No, you guys, these are all taffy-based things. They're like 1 degree more than a Starburst. And you're all, you've gone off the bonkers, you've gone off the rails.
Floating out into candy space right now.
What did you call, what was the candy you just called?
Now and Later?
Bit of Honey. That's a terrible movie candy.
That's the worst Halloween candy, too. I would always have a pile of Bit of Honey and then everything else.
You know what's the best Halloween candy? A Mary Jane.
Oh,
okay, well, anyway, I am from 1943.
She's eating peanut brittle right now while all this is happening.
I would like to say, munch it! That's mine in the end.
I like
we
that.
Will be back after this with our review of Gravity.
This is Jesse Thorne, proprietor of MaximumFun.org and host of International Waters. International Waters pits a team of comedians in London against a team of comedians here in LA over several rounds of very stupid pop culture questions and games. We've got Paul F. Tompkins, Josie Long, Greg Proops, Claudio O'Doherty, Robin Ince, Andy Zaltzman, Paul Scheer, Izzy Sooty, Ricky Carmona, Cameron Esposito, Aaron Gibson, Brian Safi. So join me and the best comedians in the English-speaking world for International Waters. Go to MaximumFun.org or look for us in the iTunes store.
Welcome back. That was really fun, by the way. Great new segment, guys. And I also want to add that due to popular Twitter revolt, and by revolt, I just mean voting, we found out that Carmona won last week's Pitch It for his movie.
Congrats.
Cannonball Pugs.
Cannonball Pugs. It has been picked up by Imagine Entertainment.
I quit the
show.
That was the sound of him jumping out the window.
Took a jetpack.
So now is a part of the show, and we're going to give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week, we chose Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity, which is in theaters now. Now, I want to say right here, spoilers do follow, so if you haven't seen the movie yet and you really are worried about spoilers, maybe pause us, and we'll come back and join you later. Or if you haven't seen the movie and you don't plan to, don't worry. We're going to be captivating and amazing anyway. But my hope, and this is an early hint at my review, is that you've already seen it and done yourself a favor. I really liked this movie. So get the fuck out and go see it right now. Bring us with you. We can sit there with you and listen. You should listen to the movie. Okay. Now, I can't. Now, here's the thing about the movie. Alfonso Cuarón, he made Children of Men, which is a film that I really like.
Amazing.
Also, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Also, I thought very good.
Fantastic.
And the film also stars Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, and then space. Also danger. I don't even want to, just to give an early, so we'll summarize a little bit for people that aren't going to see it. Basically, you see two astronauts, there's three astronauts really in space, but you see two astronauts in space, and through a series of, there's like a shower of broken satellite pieces, and they're separated from their ship, and then their ship is damaged, and they have to kind of leapfrog between various ships and try and save themselves. Specifically, one of them doesn't make it.
One of them don't make it. Can I explain the plot? Like, if me and Adam Burke were talking to each other?
Yes, what would you say?
I would say...
That's our friend Adam Burke, comic in Chicago.
Yes.
Hilarious stand-up comedian.
I'd say it's about two astronauts, and they're in space, and then one of them walks out into space, and then shit gets crazy.
Yes.
That's exactly what happens.
Shit does get crazy, and this is actually a movie where that is really true. Like, everything... Yes, okay, but let's just get to... Okay, so, sorry, I'm overwhelmed from joy.
We're very excited.
Yes. I want to just start with talking about what we thought about it. So, best and worst parts. Now, I'm going to start with you, Rhea. What is your least favorite part of this movie?
My least favorite part, it's actually really hard to say my least favorite part because I really, really enjoyed this movie, but I have two quick things. Number one, George Clooney is a little too much for me in this movie, and it's on purpose, I think, but also I just don't want that much Clooney's a little too Clooney in this movie for me. which is a little annoying. And then also leading into that, it's a sort of outside of the movie. It's kind of bothering me how much people think the movie is about George Clooney and not Sandra Bullock.
So this is the worst part of humanity?
Yes. It's actually not the movie that's the worst part to me. It's just that, like, it's a movie about a woman, and it's still not a movie about a woman.
Well,
you know, like, it's just that I don't understand how you could come out of that. I mean, clearly the marketing is, like, both of them, which is funny because Rush was sort of the same thing. It's, like, not really effective marketing, but they want to get people in there. And then because of that and because of just generalized culture, people leave that going, well, George Clooney sure got out of there pretty early. You know, like, it's not really about him.
So we were saying earlier to you, because you brought that point to me, I was saying that I understand why they needed to bill Clooney where they did, but God, I wish they could have underbilled him. Because the way that they did it, like Bullock, Clooney, Gravity, you know, giving them equal share actually made me want more from his performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I didn't think that he matched Sandra Bullock in terms of like ability in this particular movie. Like, I much preferred watching her. And if he had kind of been like almost a glorified cameo, I think I would have loved that, because I think that would have made me feel like, oh my gosh, like, so awesome to see an actor of his caliber, like, you know, coming in for a short, because he's really only in, you know, a smaller part of the movie compared to,
like, 30 minutes, probably.
He's probably in 30 minutes and then not in an hour.
Yeah.
So there's an hour of just Sandra Bullock by herself. And so that was one of my feelings about it, was that I wish that he had. It's kind of like Kevin Spacey didn't get billing in Moon for being the voice that, what's his name?
Sam Rockwell?
Sam Rockwell is acting opposite. So Sam Rockwell is in space by himself, and he is acting opposite the voice of Kevin Spacey. It feels like such a gift to get to hear Kevin Spacey's voice in that role. You're like, oh, this is amazing. And Spacey's over the top all the time. That's his whole job, is to be over the top.
Like Ed Harris in this movie being ground control, which is so awesome and fulfilling as a viewer to be like, oh my, of course, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
And the whole time I kept thinking, oh, he's going to come back and save her, because I am so programmed to think that. And because he had equal billing in this movie. And I think had he been a cameo, you would have been like, okay, this is just the other person. And there would have been that sort of like step down of like Sandra Bullock, George Clooney, and then the guy that we never see his face. two-thirds of his face, and him being like so stoked to like bounce around on the outside. Anyway, I totally agree with you.
I loved that he had equal billing, because when he disappeared in the movie, there was like 5 minutes after where I kept being like, okay, he's going to come back in a second. He's going to come back in a second. And then he doesn't. And then I was like, all right, this is no longer the movie that I thought it was going to be. I have no idea where this story is going to go now.
So you like the surprise element that
absolutely
added.
Oh, hell yeah. I was just like, yeah, this is, because then I like it when I don't know anything that's going to happen. You know, I did my best to avoid what I saw in this movie. But story-wise, I was like, it's going to be about them two floating in space. And one of them is
like holding each other.
Yeah, one of them is gonna die, and then that's it. We're gonna watch somebody slowly die, and it just is not that movie at all. And I was, on board for that ride 100%.
So Ricky, what is your worst part of this?
My worst part is actually, again, I'm nitpicking here because I loved so much of it. So I'll just name a couple things. Clooney, you too, Clooney. Come on, Clooney, turn that Clooney down a little bit. I don't need that much Clooney. A little too much Clooney for me. Tone it down a little bit. Everything story-wise, once it becomes her story, everything is reactionary. And I understand that because she has to get out of, you know, it's her getting out of situations. All right, I have to get from here, point A to point B. And now when she gets to point B, this thing happens in point B, and she needs to get to point C. So I understand that. But it just felt like I was just watching somebody react to their environment a lot of the time, as opposed to just watch a story unfold. And I could have, and then the story that they did give me, I did not care. I shouldn't say I didn't care. I didn't think it was necessary to have the backstory of her child dying. I would have preferred if the movie had way less dialogue than it actually did. Because it is such an audio-visual experience that's happening, I would have liked to have seen something like Castaway, where I'm just watching this one person do things and figure it out. And their, you know, their work, how they're reacting in the situation is telling me what's going on, as opposed to now telling me, oh, she had a, you know, she had a baby. You are in space where no one is there to help you. I am on your side. I don't need anything else for me to empathize or sympathize with you. I want you to get out of this. So let's watch you get out of this. Whenever that would happen, and I think part of it was a dialogue too, felt a little clunky. I was just kind of like, ah, I don't need to know that. We can keep going.
I think you're hitting on a lot of stuff that I really agree with. I think that it kind of goes into my worst part of this movie is just, it's like one, okay, let's do it on degrees. Maybe 5 degrees too heavy-handed all around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the dialogue kind of falls into that, where they could have had Sandra Bullock talking less to self. I mean, listen, I guess maybe in a stressful situation, maybe I would talk to self too, you know, like, cause she's like mumbling to herself for half the time. But also maybe you wouldn't. And it's just like, there's almost no situation where she's like not just being like, all right, what are you going to do next? Like, it's, I feel like it kind of distracts from just like watching her face, which she's great in this. Like, all of her reactions are amazing. She's super dialed in, and I really loved her performance. And I think that kind of just goes with like, I mean, I liked a lot of the shots too, because it was very, it was almost like 2001-esque on the nose. Like, 2001 is showing you stuff and it's like, hey, you know what this, you know what you think this means? It totally means that, you know, like, and that's what this movie is doing too. Like, there's like a fetus shot where she's clearly like curled into a fetus, and that is such a fetus.
Yeah.
I've never seen a movie and it's like, well, that fetus is a real fetus. But, you know, it's also like when, so George Clooney, you know, seeming to die and then coming back for a minute and then actually dying. Like, the minute that that started happening, I immediately turned to Rhea and I was like, oh, this is not, she's already dead. You could tell that something was off. And I just wonder if there was like one way of changing the tone a little bit that could have made that even more of a surprise moment that, like, she wasn't hallucinating him. And I think it's just like degrees in tone. Like, it was, he was so close,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it's just like a little bit more poppy than I wanted it to be. Just a little bit more digestible, I guess. Because he was like so close to honestly having this be one of the scariest movies of all time ever. And it ended up just being a little bit lighthearted. And it just like, oh man, just fucking make that movie. Like, what if he had just made that movie? Like, he was so close. I don't know if I could have taken it. I might have had to leave.
That's actually what I was going to say, is like, now that I think about it, outside of the theater, I think I probably would have had a panic attack if it wouldn't have been a little silly. And I actually think that's why it's a little silly, because if you were in that situation, you would probably be telling people stupid ass stories over and over again, so that you're not like, oh my God, I'm in this fucking void that I'm going to like be sucked into, and how am I going to die? Like, I'm going to have to kill myself, basically, by turning my oxygen off or go through all of it. And, like, I mean, I would be saying the craziest. I mean, I'm talking to myself when I walk my dog because it's such a horrible experience. So, like, yeah, you're going to, I don't know. I hear what you guys are saying, but I actually completely disagree with you.
Well, okay. I like that. All right, so what's your best part, Rhea?
Well, again, so many things. Number one, this movie is probably the best movie for the Bechdel test, because she has a...
Can you please tell us what that is?
That's the test about movies.
Bechdel.
Yes, like movies containing women, like how many women are in the movie, and then is that woman, does she serve a purpose other than... is she on screen talking about something other than a man? Does she have interactions with someone other than a man? You know, like those... basically goes on a couple more things from there, but I can't remember what it is.
Whose test is that? What's her name?
Alison Bechdel. She's a cartoonist. She draws specifically a strip called Dykes to Watch Out For, but also she had a book called Fun Home that won like a bunch of prizes.
It's a musical now.
The New York Times bestseller list. But anyway, she has a theory about...
I like that theory.
...validity as it relates to female characters in movies.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think that's awesome. Number two, I really loved that Sandra Bullock's character was named Ryan, and that the aunt, because he asks her, like, that's a weird name for a girl. And she's like, yeah, my dad really wanted a boy. And I think that's a really awesome thing for a female protagonist in a sci-fi huge event movie to say, because, like, everybody in the audience wants it to be a boy. Like, everybody wants it, even though they don't know it. They're like, huh. And, like, of course, I mean, even, like, Ripley is goes by Ripley. And, you know, I don't know. I thought that was a really nice touch.
I always call her Ellen. Sure. You guys are right together. I always call her Ellen.
But I guess just, I mean, there are so many little things that I really loved in it. And I actually thought I was going to pass out a lot during this movie because I am insanely afraid of water and drowning. This was basically that the whole time. And visually, it was insane. And also, I'll just end with this because it's hard for me to put it all into one thing. If this movie is what came from Avatar, then I absolutely love the movie Avatar. Because I guess Alfonso Cuarón and James Cameron were friends, and that technology is what allowed him to make this movie because it's been sitting around for a really long time. Holy shit, is this like an amazing experience. I can't think of anything else that I've seen that felt like this movie.
Well, it all comes back to James Cameron all the time. So, Ricky, right now, what about you? Best part?
The whole, I mean, yes to pretty much everything that Rhea said. Specifically adding, I'm going to add on to what you said at the end there. There's movies, I love movies that are spectacles. And not necessarily the movie that makes the most money or the movie that everybody's going to see. The movie where you see something and you go, oh shit, I've never seen that before. Oh man, I've never seen that. I've never seen the camera do that. And the movie opens with a shot like that. And then it has several more sprinkled throughout.
Like that.
Yeah, the sound, I saw the movie twice, which was so I would recommend people seeing it twice if you can and if you make that paper. Because then you like, the first time I was just overwhelmed. Like I knew I liked what I saw, but I was just like, oh, there's all this shit going on. The second time, really able to take it in and just like absorb certain things. I had forgotten just like so much about like that there's no sound, you know, that they don't have sound in space and that there's no sound in the movie. But I was like, but when I saw it, I was like, I'm sure, no, there's sound. They do this great thing with the score where whenever anything happens, like whenever like pieces are hitting, the score is filling in for the actual sound effect that you would hear. I mean, that's just amazing to me technically that something like that gets made and it gets done. And it's, I looked around. There was times where I was like looking around at people in the theater. Just because, like, yeah, shit, this is something we've never seen before. It was fucking great. This would be my favorite movie of the year if it just didn't have those little, like clunks and clinks in it story-wise. But just technically, in Children of Men, and then he makes this. I mean, do you know how lucky we are to have this guy? Like, I mean, that's...
Oh, Ricky, you are the best.
Make another one, man, and take your time with it. You know, I'm okay with that.
Our audience applauded, and we were in Burbank. So, like,
that's what kind of movie this was.
I think that's an L.A. thing where people applaud. They applauded at this one, and this is the first time I was okay with people applauding. Usually I'm like, all right, I get it. We live here. One of you worked on it. But I was like, no, we can fucking put your hands together for that.
Well, I think that my best part of this movie is just that I always am a sucker for a movie that runs in real time, which I don't know that this actually runs.
It does.
I couldn't tell with the watch. Is that actually real time?
It actually does. Well, that's the amount of time it would take for them to make a orbit around the Earth, which they do
right
in the movie.
But I mean, like, is her watch set to the exact time that we're watching her? Because I don't think so.
She keeps resetting it a couple times.
We should call Neil deGrasse Tyson and find out.
Well, I think that her watch beeps because it's been like an hour and a half, and therefore the movie would be.
When she like passes out or whatever happens when Clooney shows up the second time?
Yeah,
I think that might be when time kind of.
There's some weird time stuff, but other than that, it's very much. It's very much real time, which I love when movies do that. I think it's an underused, especially for action movies. I would almost always rather see that. And I would also add that it's a great movie for celebrating sci-fi and action movies, and specifically sci-fi movies. Like when we saw Pacific Rim this year, and I was thinking about like, well, this movie is everything that's ever happened in sci-fi movies. And that's cool. I mean, It's cool. Pacific Rim was fun.
Same for Oblivion, too?
Yeah, same for Oblivion. But it was, like, really nice to see this. I mean, I literally turned to Rhea as the capsule crashes down at the end in a lake. I turned to Rhea, I go, this is Planet of the Apes. And it actually is.
It's the same
lake. It's the Planet of the Apes lake that they filmed the crashdown scene in Planet of the Apes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Is the same lake that they filmed the crashdown scene in this movie. And, like, you can tell, and that's cool, and it's a cool use of that. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel like it was too winky. I mean, this movie's a little bit winky, but I didn't feel like it was winking too hard at that, and I just thought that was really neat, all those little moments in there that were kind of peppered in. And I really liked it a lot. So to conclude our review in brief, Rhea, how many Jesus Christ, I can't breathe on a scale of 1 to 5 do you give?
Oh, I give it 5. Gravity. Absolutely. I mean, I would give it 10 because Jesus Christ, I can't breathe. I've never seen a movie like that other than maybe Jurassic Park. I've never seen a movie like that. It was great.
So, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, George Clooney being George Clooney, do you give Gravity?
I will give this, regardless of the flaws I found in it, I will give it 5 Cloonies of George Clooney's. And can I say that last one you're talking about, her landing on the island? I think that's one of the best, that's the other one of the best shots in that movie, is when she stands up and the camera's just kind of low like that and the fucking theme kicks in. Yeah. I was like, ah, yeah!
I mean, it's pretty so crazy. Literal, but it doesn't bother
it
me
doesn't,
at all.
Exactly, like, exactly. I mean,
the fetus didn't bother me at all. Like, all the stuff that is so over the head, I'm just like, I went through this crazy thing with them too.
Yeah,
very literal.
Sorry.
It's a very literal movie, and I am giving Gravity. So on a scale of 1 to 5 of the underwear that female astronauts apparently wear under spacesuits,
the which underwear I'm
always,
wearing right now.
Yowza! She looks so good in this. And slash, it's like the last time. Do you remember when you first saw Ripley with her spacesuit off, and you were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
We're going to get to see this? I didn't realize this was going to be a part of this. And then that happens in this movie. I'm like, oh, whew. Homegirl looks good. She's got a little,
Homegirl look good.
Please don't get any more face work done, is what I have to say. Keep that bod tight. You're looking awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. But please don't even do one more thing.
I hope
that
she
little
gets a
face.
Goddamn Oscar for this.
Because I hope she gets an Oscar too. I'm giving it 5 tiny underwears on a scale of 1 to 5 tiny underwears. And we are going to leave you with this. What are you thinking about this week, Rhea? What are you thinking about?
I am thinking about a movie that we've tossed around quite a bit on the show that's finally getting a Criterion release. Ooh. So you guys should see Thief on Blu-ray Criterion because it's coming out.
What?
Yeah, Ricky, that's what I'm talking about. And then number 2, go see Gravity in IMAX 3D if you didn't already, because holy shit, that will rock your world. And number 3, you should listen to the band Disclosure, because it's killing me. Like, I just like love it. I have had it on repeat, so you guys should check that out.
Ricky, what about you? What do you think about this week?
A couple weeks ago, I don't even know what hip-hop song I was yelling about, but I kind of like apologized for being like, oh, I don't know who listens to hip-hop or something. It's been in my head for a minute now. And this past weekend, I went and saw Stevie Wonder. Well, I didn't see Stevie Wonder, but I went to this big Stevie Wonder dance party on Friday. I am going to go see Lionel Richie live. And I'm excited as hell for it. And I know the people who are going to be there are going to be as excited as hell for it. And I know when I talk about like music or like dance things, just in general, people always go, I don't know if that's kind of my thing. Or I think we revert back to, oh, like, we think of a dance as, like, our high school dance and you're fucking picked on or something. But go out and do these things if you're into doing them. You don't need to go out and, like, go nuts crazy drinking or think that you have to be forced into dancing. Just go out and have a good-ass time, because we're at that age now where you will be with people who want to be there, and you can just be yourself and enjoy the good music around you. So go out and find somewhere that's playing music that you like and go live it up. Treat yourself right. Yourself right.
I love that. That call to arms, call to feet, as it were.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave you guys with, so I was saying earlier that I saw Gatsby this week on a plane, and I know that it's a moderately silly movie in some ways. You know, it's Baz Luhrmann, so his stuff is always pretty, just pretty over the top, but also visually interesting and cool to see. I like a lot of his stuff. But I would see this movie for Leonardo DiCaprio's performance because I have read The Great Gatsby many times. I've also listened to the audiobook. I've also seen the original movie. And I can't remember if I saw, I think I saw the original movie with Robert Redford the same time I was reading the book in high school for the first time. And I remember thinking, like, I didn't really understand the book because Robert Redford's portrayal of Gatsby is very, like, I don't know, buttoned up and kind of aloof. And Leonardo DiCaprio just plays a really different version of this character, like this standard, like American, like this character we all you know, see and hear about throughout our lives, so referenced in the cultural milieu. And it was just really rad to see a completely different take on it. And actually, I liked his take better. I thought Leonardo DiCaprio was better as his version of Gatsby than I ever have seen anybody do. And I was like so stoked. You know, it's cool when you like revisit something you've seen a bunch of times. And so much these days when we talk about remaking movies, we're talking about how bummed we are, how much it's like a waste of time. And what's up, Gatsby? It shocked me. Couldn't believe it. I'm really proud of you, Leonardo. You did a great job. You turned me around. I didn't know how I felt about you. I feel great. And so for next week on the show, we will be watching Dread, which is available right now on Netflix Watch Instant. We've gotten some requests for that from listeners. So thank you so much for requesting the movie you want us to see and talk about. Dread will be it. Until next week, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.